This is the realm we belong to. These are where our testimonies come from. This is our real testimonies come from, centered in on that realm. So there's a grace on PWM that has been inaugurated and picking up and gaining steam, i.e. Friday night at Rahope, when the Spirit came on Roz and everything picked up. The Spirit took the people to heaven through a vessel. See? And so we're getting more and more used to that. I say that's what's going to happen to your life more as you continue your prayer watches. That the ordinances of heaven, the living light from heaven will dawn on us, right? The darkness will go away. We'll see Jesus. When we see Jesus, we become more like him, and the flesh starts to go further and further down, and Satan's reign has been nixed. So we try to do a lot of things because we read them, but we're still in our own human flesh. We try to do a lot of good things because we read them, and there's something inside of us that said, I got to do good, but we try to do it without the Spirit. So we have to get used. We're inaugurated. I don't know, this word keeps coming. We're inaugurated into another realm by the grace of heaven because of your prayers, because of your consistency, because of what you wanted that's beyond what human beings can do. We've been inaugurated into another realm that, especially the more we get together, the more it's going to happen. So that's why this morning I felt like that I needed to not let us get into a by rote. Okay? Because, you know, you come to church, it's worship time, so I don't really have to be there too. Right? Am I stepping on you? I don't have to really be there because, you know, that part, whatever. You know what? You know what? We're back in the flesh, guys. We're back in the flesh. But see, the Spirit's always reaching out to us. It's like it's always reaching out to you. I can't get to you. It's always opening doors, but I can't get to you because you think in a certain way. You know, your confidence is still in your natural self. It's still in your human confidence. You know, I know what to do. I know when to come. I know what to say. I know what they're going to say. I know what pastor going to say. But it's imperative that we learn to get in the Spirit. It's imperative. You know, starting at Pentecost, you have a whole new age. It's a spiritual age, right? The Holy Spirit comes, and it's a whole spiritual age. And really, God gave us a lot of hints of it in the Old Testament. A lot of them. A lot of, you know, as a matter of fact, every sacrifice that they gave, every animal that they cut was looking forth to an age where we walk in the Spirit. So when my fleshly life gets cut and sacrificed, I can start walking in his glory, right? So before they sacrifice and come into the temple, they had to sacrifice. Before they came into the temple to work, they had to sacrifice. That's what has to happen to our lives. So God has set up situations like that so we can walk and live in the Spirit, right? So we can journey beyond. This is where I can bring Dre and Tony up to talk about movies, about, you know, in other realms, but they didn't call it that. They had, you know, some kind of pill or a red pill and a white pill. I haven't seen it yet, but apparently it talks about, you know, you reach over to. Sometimes I think the world has more in touch of that. I mean, that's all what Jesus talked about. Matter of fact, that's all he walked. That's all he could walk when he was on the earth. It was another realm. That's all he could walk. That's why Nicodemus couldn't understand him. What are you talking about being born again? He was so natural-minded. He's a great teacher. He's a great teacher, right? He's a great teacher of Israel. And yet Jesus said, why don't you understand what I'm saying to you? How many great teachers do we have now? But they still teach on the natural level. They still teach church on a natural level. It's got to be up here, guys. He was rose from the dead. And he sent his spirit back to teach you about the spirit realm, which you were really intended to be. And if your spiritual eyes open to see Jesus, you'll know. The more it's happening to us, the more we walk. You know, I call PWM the risen ones. Because that's how I see you. I call you what I see you. I see you risen. I see you resurrected. I don't care if you're crawling in the dirt. I call you risen. Out of the natural, out of the old man, into the spirit man. When Jesus said he came to give you abundant life, he wasn't talking about 5 pair of jeans and a house. That might come as a result of it, but he's talking about the spirit realm on the inside of you. Abundant life. I give you life. Not only I give you life, I give you spirit life. I give you spirit life, Chris. Not only do I give you spirit life, I give it to you abundantly. And so I'm going to pray that the eyes of your heart open to see the abundant life. That's what I'm going to have Paul pray for you. You see, Paul can't write the Bible until he's seeing himself. Until he's seen the spirit realm. He can't write it. It's not dictated to him. He's writing what he's seeing. He's seeing another realm. He's writing what he's seeing. And then he's saying, you come up to that same realm. I'm writing for you to come up to the same realm. I'm writing from another realm. I'm seeing demonic spirits being cast out. I'm not just telling you to do it. I'm telling you what I'm seeing. And then you start seeing, and then you start doing. But it's got to be in that order. You know, Glow said this to me the other day. She comes up with some good stuff sometimes. You know, a while back when we first kind of come out of the traditional church and we went over and started, you know, understanding some things, and we were just being logically taught for years in church. It was good stuff, but it was logic. And she reminded me back then, she said, you know, we used to say then, man, we don't know anything. We don't know jack, she calls it. And then the other day she said, we can't do jack. Not only do we know jack, no, tell jack. Because you can't do it on your own. I told you she'd do good sometime. There's a realm of eternity waiting for you. And it's actually been birthed in your loins already by the Holy Ghost. And he's just waiting. For the walls to come down, for you to submit to him more. You know, here's what happens in life and in Christianity. You get a revelation, you get a movement, and then you kind of level off. And then for 100, 200 years, we start to minister on that one level, and God's got higher levels, you know, or deeper levels. And really, that's kind of happened with Christianity. Remember, before Martin Luther, in 1500s, you know, you didn't get saved by faith. You got saved by works. You know, of course, we still do. Justification by faith was the whole, you know, thing of Martin Luther. You know, then it sounds like Hannah. Hannah's in the house. And then we had we had Azusa Street and the Pentecostal kind of movement and birth of the Pentecostal churches, and it was baptized. They call it baptism in the spirit, and you spoke in tongues. And do you know that we still think that speaking in tongues means that's the end of our baptism? Yes, any Pentecostal, charismatic, I'm baptized in spirit because I speak in tongues. You don't know. See, we leveled off. See, it's not until the Holy Spirit has such union with you that your life is gone Are you fully, he has fully possession of you, and you don't even know what you're going to speak because he has possession of your tongue and your mind, and you don't know where you're going to go because he has possession of your feet. That's baptism. That's inundation. That's taking you over. That's not, my life's no longer my own. That's baptism. See, that's saturation. That's union. I'm yoked with him. I don't just know him. I'm living off of him. I'm living off of him. See, I don't care how much I got to suffer. I tell people, you don't like suffering, you don't know Christ. Because I don't care how much I got to suffer. If I had to lose my life to gain that one. See, this is baptism. But we leveled off. We thought it was tongues. Bah, 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 bah. He's asking any of them. Bless God, I got the Holy Spirit. I mean, people came and started trying to join here. And I would say, let's pray for the Holy Ghost. They say, oh, no, we already got it. Bah, 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 bah. I'm not going to tell you what she said. It's kind of true. Are y'all listening? So we got to get in the spirit realm. See, and so things have to slow down. And we started drawing on God, right? And so God starts to empty you of you. So every circumstance that comes up, every trial you go through, every time you want to get mad at somebody, God said, now why are you getting mad at them? I'm just trying to empty you of you. Why are you getting mad at them? And you keep getting mad 10 times, 20 times, 100 times, 500 times. Go to Pastor Jerry's building. They still get mad. At 90. How long does it take me to teach you that your flesh doesn't profit anything? How long is it going to take me to get you? And God keeps trying to get us in the spirit realm. Let that go. Let that go. Let me teach you from above. Let me teach you a different way. Because my ways are higher than yours, right? So you have to submit severely. And allow God, allow our Heavenly Father, our meek and wonderful Heavenly Father, teach his children his way. From a whole different realm. It's a whole different standard, you know. And Jesus started, he gave us the Sermon on the Mount, right? He gave us the Sermon on the Mount. You say, don't do this. I say, don't even think about it. See, we need the Spirit. We need more of the Spirit. You know, the more of the Spirit we get, the more our lives are going to change, and the more it's going to be the passion to see other lives changed. I don't care what they do to you. The more you're going to love your enemies. But that's this house, see. That's this house. This is the designation of PWM. He's like fanatical over y'all guys. I'm going to get you to walk in love from above. I'm going to get you to walk in the spirit, whether you like it or not. Right? I'm gonna allow this stuff to happen to you because I want you with me. I have a fetish for you. I want you with me. But I'm not going to walk in the natural. I'm not going to do it. You got to come up to me. And I'm going to do everything I can for you to walk in the spirit and see in the spirit. I mean see. I mean your eyes of your heart. Just knowing stuff. How do you know that, Chris? How do you know that, Amanda? I just know it. The eyes of my heart have been enlightened. Satan's goose is cooked in that area of my life because I see beyond what he can do. I'm telling you, God's imparting vision. Without a vision, what happens to the people? You know what the Hebrew says? Without a vision, they cast off all restraint. They just start doing whatever they want to do. Even if they don't want to do it, they still do it because you got to see things before you can enter into them, right? So God's taking us to another realm. This is the thought of the morning. This is where we fellowship together. This is not a sermon. This is where we fellowship together. We could do this with chicken wings and and some rice. Somebody run up. We just you can stop clapping now, Chris. This is where we break bread together in spirit and in the natural. This is where we break the bread of heaven. He's the bread of life. We get doses of heavenly bread that enter right into your heart. I'm the way. I'm the one putting in life on the inside of you. You have none of your own. And even when we eat our chicken wings, Lord, thank you for the grace to eat them. And the energy and the life. And Holy Spirit, you make sure it digests well. And you make sure that it does what it needs to do. And you make sure I don't eat too much of it. It's together. This is communion. This is life. This is life. This is broken bread, right? This is the true meaning of broken bread. True meaning. This is the true meaning of broken bread. And life together. Life together. I've been really pulling on Rob to invite me over to eat. But it's a living supper. See? We have to, everything's spiritual, right? See, some of the most grotesque teachings and ways are due to men taking scriptures and putting them in the natural and putting bondage on people, their wives, and on their churches and on their communities. Because we're still in the flesh and we try to interpret the scriptures in the flesh. Men, we're not the boss. I got one amen. So I'm going to have Pastor Jerry come up for a second when she unhooks the oxygen. And then I have another testimony that I want someone to share. She's going to share her encounter, that she's going to share her experience last night with the Spirit, trying to go sleep and because this morning we're going to learn more. We're going to learn what we have. We're going to learn what we walk in. We're going to learn about the spirit realm. We're going to learn the life that God's transforming us to, moment by moment. Right? Happens moment by moment.
Moment by moment. You better be ready. You better live with him in the spirit. As in PWM, the spirit wants to speak. And see, we have to realize it's not pastor, it's not me, it's not Chris. When you know the spirit, you go, oh, that's the spirit speaking. That's the Holy Spirit tagging me. Tagging me. Oh, Pastor, I got to share with this now that I've said this. Okay, Lord. I lived in a marriage that wasn't quite godly in what it was supposed to be. And the husband kind of did what he wanted to do as pastor. So he cast off all strengths of the marriage. And I would be told of some of the things by other people that they saw him doing. And so when I would approach him, he would always say, mm-mm, that's not me. And see, when the Holy Spirit is, first of all, he will approach us. Just say, that's you. He'd approach you. Yesterday he had to approach me because I'm still dealing with the pride of the oxygen. And I went to a birthday party with all my family that I hadn't seen in years was going to be there. And the pride said, you're not walking in there with that tank. So I suffered physically because my pride, my flesh, didn't want to look bad. Okay. But the Holy Spirit told me afterward that was totally your flesh and your pride. Okay, before I tell the rest of it. So the person would always say, it's not me until you touch me. If you don't tag me, it's not me. And see, that's what we make the Holy Ghost do. Every time we gonna deny it. At least I thank God I'm not in denial about the pride. I'm not in denial, y'all. I'm still asking God, man, I hate that thing with a passion. I'm not in denial, Mike. I'm asking him to help me, whichever way he needs to help me. I want him to open up my lungs so I don't have the need for it. But he's saying there's something else I need to do in you before the lungs get open. It may not even be about the lungs. There's a deeper work down on the inside of you that I can't get to. He's trying to baptize me. He's trying to break in. But I've got my wall of, I want this done. God, I've got to get off of this thing. He told me to get like that last night. If you forget about it, am I going to forget about it, Mike? How, Pastor, help me. How, when I've got to do this, that I'm going to forget about it? I'm talking about a baptism in the Holy Ghost. I'm talking about getting to a place in God where I don't care what you try to attach to you, it's not you. See, this, I haven't gotten to the place, Mike, that this is not me. Because when I get a resurrection, if I get in God enough, I'm not even going to have this. But as he processed me out of me, see, right now he's processing me out of me. So I've got to tag on to this until eventually I'm going to walk out of it. But as long as I'm worried about it and concerned about it and really hooked up to it, not just in the natural, but in the spirit, he's trying to break something in me. And last night I had a dream. See, I'm thanking God for resurrection. My God, because if you want it, Bree, if you want it. See, after he deals with me, after I got back home from the party and everybody telling me, you don't look 70. My girl, you look so good. I was saying, Lord, if I had that oxygen on, they might not be. See, but they was feeding my breath. They was feeding my flesh. You know, all the cousins that my children age and under. You are hot old. Stroke that ego. I couldn't have no tank attached to me. See, because I knew what was going to happen, y'all. That's why the tank couldn't go. I'm going to be real and transparent. Because God's trying to help us. He's trying to help us. That tank is just not me. It's you, too. Because you got something that's attached to you that you want to get rid of. And the Holy Spirit said, I can't get rid of it because I got to deal with you first. And once you go, it's gone. Because it's just our flesh that is attached to it. The spirit man don't have a need of oxygen. The resurrected Geraldine don't have a need of oxygen. So I'm still in my flesh. I'm still in my flesh. I'm still depending on the natural things. But you got to get to the point that you can release that stuff. Man, you talking, see, we still need faith. Oh, come on, y'all. We still, we think we don't have faith yet. Not yet. Not yet. Not yet. I don't care how much the faith movement say we got faith. There is no faith until you can live a resurrected life. There is no faith when you got the courage to step out of yourself. There is no faith until you can be afflicted and crucified and have crucibles and enjoy them. I'm talking about enjoy being mistreated. Enjoy being talked about. Enjoy being lied on. Enjoy being looked over. I had a little Pastor Gloria, thank God for the Holy Ghost. Had a little one yesterday. A little few minutes. The Holy Spirit said, why don't you get yourself together and get out of your flesh. I love it, y'all, when he keep telling me, get out of your flesh. Relationship. Like Pastor said, he loved me enough that, see, no flesh and blood is going to inherit the kingdom of God. So he's trying to get me up there where he is. So he keeps saying, Geraldine, get out your flesh. Because I want you to come with me. I want you to be joined to me. See, he's a resurrected Jesus, and my natural flesh can't be joined to him. I got to get out of this flesh. He keeps telling me you need to live outside of your flesh. And I'm asking him, give me the courage and the grace and the faith to live outside of my flesh. That's supernatural, y'all. That's supernatural. We can't do that. I can't step out of me. He's got to step me out of me. And little bit by little bit, you know, Geraldine, that's flesh. I'm coming a little bit out of me. Geraldine, forget it. That's coming a little bit out of me. A little bit more out of me. A little bit more. You know, take it with joy. Love it that he's transforming your life. I was reading a scripture last night, 2 o'clock this morning. Well, first of all, when I first read the scripture, I said to myself, I sure wish this person could be a part of this scripture with me. Went to sleep, and lo and behold, I ended up in 1 Samuel on a mountain with that person. I could smell the fight that was going on. See, I can't tell it now because I'm supposed to tell it next Sunday. I won't tell it. But the Philistine was about to take over. But these two people had faith and courage enough to say, come on, y'all, let's go do this. Let's go get them. Let's go get them. They had the Holy, and you know, they knew God so much because they said, now, if they say this, then we'll know it's God. See, we don't even know God, y'all. We don't know when God speaks to us. We don't have that inner witness. We so soulish. We move on our emotion and our soulish realm. It's not the Holy Spirit talking to us. It's my flesh talking to me. And you can't even say it's the devil. It's me. Pastor told me one time, I met the devil and it's me. Oh boy, I didn't like that. I didn't like that because that means when I meet the devil, it's me. It's me. It's me. It's really me. After 25 years of marriage, when I left the grave site with my husband, you know what the Holy Spirit spoke to me? Who you going to blame now? Who you going to blame now? Who are you going to blame now? Because all them 25 years, it was me. It was my flesh he was trying to deal with. I don't care what the circumstance was. It was my flesh he was trying to deal. He was trying to get me from him to from that man to him. To the man. Come on, women. There's a man that, ooh. Pastor Mark, Glow, let me tell you. Glow, let me tell you. The man. Ooh, Jesus. The man. James, the man. Stop fighting with these natural men. Because the man. He got more wisdom and understanding than you ever think. He know how to fool. if he know how to take him, if he know how to take that dust that's giving you a headache and blow life into you, don't you think he can take that same dust and blow transformation into him? So it ain't about that dust, it's about you. The rib. It's about the rib. Because it was the rib that got us in trouble in the beginning. Hello, I know I didn't get up here to say all this. Holy Ghost help. But it was the rib that got us in trouble in the beginning. But we yet blaming the man. Come on. Let's go. It's true. See, truth, the only way you're going to rise is that you get truth. That the only way you're going to live with him is because he is truth. And he's not going to connect himself to delusion. Delusion. We live the life of delusion. Be real with yourself. I tell y'all all the time, don't I? I need Jesus, and Pastor Jerry is a mess. I don't be saying it just to be saying it because I want help. I told Pastor there's a hope and a confidence in me that God's going to change me. And that I'm going to live a resurrected life. And that mortal is going to be changed into immortality. And I'm not going to need this flesh anymore. Even on this earth. Because Jesus walked in the flesh, outside of the flesh, when he walked the earth. He walks in heaven on the earth. And we can do the same thing. He came as an example to us. He said, I'm in flesh, but flesh don't have no dominion over me. So don't say you can't do it. You can do it. Tawana, you can do it. By the Spirit. Baptism of the Holy Spirit. Not tongues. I told Pastor, my daughter, 49 years old, and I started speaking in tongues when she was 6 months. And it wasn't until about 5 years ago that I realized a teaching here at PWM, Life in the Spirit, by Toza, what the Holy Ghost really was, if you had him, if you had been baptized, the evidence is not in tongues, but it's in the power and the authority to live a resurrected life. That's what the Holy Spirit does. Because on the day of Pentecost, that lying, cheating Peter changed. He didn't get just tongues. He got the fire and authority of the Holy Ghost to the point that his shadow was healing people. Don't live a life of delusion. I have it. No, we don't. No, we don't. No, we don't. No, we don't. No dead being raised yet. Come on. Come on, y'all. No blind eyes being opened yet. Come on, y'all. Come on, y'all. And it's only by the power and authority in the will of the Holy Spirit through the mind of God. Working through you. Not yet. We can't even speak to our neighbor that we don't like. But we have the Holy Ghost. We've been baptized. And that with a mighty burning fire. That was a testimony back in the day. I thank God for being filled with the Holy Ghost. Sanctified. Filled with the Holy Ghost. Baptized. And that with a mighty burning fire. Woo! Woo! And go home, and my husband say, after I have my outer body experience, my flesh, he said, I thought you just came from church. No change. Church don't change us. And I'm gonna sit down. When Jesus asked his disciple, who does men say I am? They had all kinds of answers. Elijah, you know, one of the prophets. But then heaven dropped down on Peter. Heaven dropped down on Peter. He said, oh, I know who you are. You're the Son of the living God. And what did Jesus say? Flesh and blood didn't reveal that to you. Heaven dropped down. See, heaven trying to drop down on us. This is the church. When heaven, revelation, ascending, descending is dropping down on us and we get in real true identity who Christ is, who means we get identity of who we are. He said, flesh and blood didn't reveal that. My Father. And then he said, upon this rock, upon this revelation is what my church is supposed to be established on. How many heaven dropping down? How many churches established on heaven dropping down? Or are we established on a good choir and some robes, some gaiters, big church, 40,000 members? Or are we looking for heaven dropping? I want to go to a place where heaven is dropping down. Come on, baby girl. If I go in and I don't feel that, and you can feel the atmosphere of heaven. There are people that come in here and say, this place is different. They can't identify what it is. Boy, but they feel the atmosphere. Heaven is coming down more and more. And the eyes of our understanding are going to be so enlightened that we're going to tell Satan, ah, I got what you lost, buddy. We're not intimidated by him anymore. You know, our eyes become open. We see where he was and we see what God sent his son to redeem us back to. We can tell that booger, forget it. I know where I am. I have what you had. That's it. It's over. I've been to heaven, man. I know. Forget you. I'm a heaven creature. I'm a spiritual creature. You can bring what you want to bring. Bring death. I'm already dead. Pluck my eyes out. I'm still going to see. Because you don't see with these. You see with the heart of these eyes of your spirit. God's doing a work in here, y'all. Heaven is dropping down. Even on this morning, he's visiting revelation. Revelation coming to everyone that's in here today. I release that on you. I release the spirit of revelation. I release the spirit of your eyes, of your understanding being open. I release a thirst and a hunger for the eternal life. For life. This right here. Nothing but death, y'all. It's decaying every day. This flesh. But if the spirit come in it and quicken it and make it alive, we don't even have to die in the natural. Holy Ghost help us. We can go to 150, 200. They live 900 years from the fall because they had that much God in them. 900 years from the fall. After the fall, 900 years. And here we got the Holy Ghost. And we talking about we doing good and we live to 70. The devil is a liar. 125, 225. Life. Life. And I ain't talking about being in no wheelchair and being crippled. I'm talking about life. Life.
Hallelujah. All right, so she's cheering wonderfully, but she didn't share the right thing. The resurrection piece. Every time you woke up.
Oh, I asked you what was I supposed to share. It was good. It was good. But that was leading up. All of that, what I said, was a part of my desire. Because after the Holy Spirit showed me my flesh, I began to weep and cry and say, God, I've got to have the resurrection life. I can't live in this anymore. And God, I asked him, give me a confidence and an assurance that you're going to do that in me, because I want the resurrected life. See, until you want it, he can't even begin. You got to see that there is such a thing as a resurrected life. And I can see the contrast, because truthfully, heaven dawns on us. Like Friday night, heaven dawned it on us, right? But then we can really live in that. We can, Pastor. I believe we are supposed to really live in that. Not just go back to. So ask God for a resurrected life. He's going to work it in you. May not be the way you think. Because he's going to kill all your flesh. Every bit of it. Every bit of it, y'all. He's not going to leave any of you. And I don't want him to. I don't desire that he leave any of me at all. I desire the resurrected life. But I know that there's a hope and a confidence from heaven that he'll be able to drop down on all of us and impart, JR, heaven inside of you. We won't be talking about heaven. We'll be living. We'll be living the resurrected heavenly life. His will be done, his kingdom come here on earth as it is in heaven. We are going to honor his request and become what he desired that we become and live in that resurrection life. See, I can't tell him stuff. Because every time I woke up, you all, because I desired it, I couldn't tell whether I was in my body or out of my body. I was beginning to, you know, have a little bit. Okay, God, wow, this is good. So I go back to sleep and wake up again. And I could tell that there was something going on. And I really, JR, I really wanted to just leave this body. I wanted to have that experience. You know, I didn't want to be this close to it. You know what I mean? I wanted to be totally resurrected up out of it. And because I desired it, I know I'm going to live it, y'all. I'm a witness. I'm going to be a witness in this church and in this earth. Because that's what I was born for. That's what we were born for. Not this world. We were born to live with him. Live with Jesus. Walk with him. Have sweet communion with him. Be translated up to paradise. Anytime. Anytime. You sitting there, but yet you gone. Ward talking to you, and you say, Kristen, did you hear anything I said? 10 minutes later, when she comes back, you know, then the whole conversation is going to change. She's going to bring heaven down. Only way heaven can come down is through us, y'all. Come on, through us desiring and wanting to get that close and getting to know him. Like Peter said, I know who you are by the Father.
Amen. Whew. What are we going to do with her? I don't know. You guys remember what the Lord said to Nathaniel when he was under the tree? And he said, you're going to see heaven open. And the angels of God, the messengers of God, ascending and descending. All of you guys are his messengers. He's prophesying about you guys. You're going to see them ascending and descending upon the Son of Man, you know. All of us start to know another realm, and we really get comfortable in that realm and not comfortable with the earth. And that's what I see over you guys' lives. I see that happening. I see what the Holy Spirit's doing over your guys' lives. This is how I pray for you, because I can see it. I can see Chantel in the Spirit. I can see Crystal in the Spirit. I can see Craig walking in the Spirit. So now that I can see it, I pray more passionately from heaven to earth, not just natural sentiment. I can see you guys walking in another realm. And this is why we had to have happen what's happening today. So it's not really a sermon. It's just the bread being broken in your midst. You know, your fellowship. You guys still eating wings, right? Okay. But with and salad. Amen. Amen. We got this. So when you're in the Spirit, you get a different kind of confidence.
Yes, you do.
This is why you get a different kind of confidence. And so self-confidence, you know, I heard one man say, God didn't come to save you. He came to kill you. Because your natural self is too strong. And Jesus wants to get to you bad, but in the natural, we're too strong. Year after year, year after year. It can't break him yet. I got to keep going after him. He's 50. I can't break him yet. Naturally, we're so strong and gnarly. I'm going to have my way. You don't even have to teach that to your children. I'm going to have my way. They know that natural life gets in them so strong. natural life, getting born in sin, shaped in iniquity, right? It's so strong. Hard to break. You know, God can't break it. You know what I'm saying? This is the God's got might. So you have to hear words like this. And at the same time, the Holy Spirit's like wearing you down. He didn't come to save you. He had to kill you. See, scripture says he kills and then he makes alive. See, most of us say, God, you ain't killing me. In one way or the other. You ain't killing me. I know what I'm doing. I already planned out my life. I already know what I'm going to do. I set it all up. Carol Arrington, will you come? Something's going on in here. Carol's going to share something with us that she told me about, and I didn't hear it all, but I think it's going to be very good.
My daughter shared it with you first.
Yes.
My daughter. Yes. Giving God the glory and the praise first. I did share with my daughter on Thursday. I'm not using the mic. I shared with Raquel on Thursday morning after I had had a bad night Monday. I was in the spirit. I was praying all day, asking God to show me what is going on. And so I went on through the day. But then when the night came, it got worse. I went to bed. I woke up at 4 o'clock, and I laid back down. And I laid back down again. But this time when I laid back down, this glorious light, Jesus was walking on the water. Jesus came forward with just such floating ease, barefooted. The water was so calm. The peace was so real, like nobody was around. Nobody was around. And he walked on the water. He walked on the water. I woke up. I woke up and I said, well, Lord, is this for real? Yes, it's for real. You saw Jesus walk on the water. Now you're going to tell it. You're going to tell it about the goodness of the Lord, what he has done for you. And I said, I can't stay in here, Lord. I got to get out of this apartment. So I was still up at 5 o'clock. I got my clothes on at 6. I was downstairs. I had to walk. When I start walking, the Holy Spirit start walking with me. But I'm going to release you today of some stuff you've been through. In the last months, James was my assignment. For a year, God gave me the James story to read over and over. But in the last month, when I went to Gulfport, Mississippi, the water, why am I looking at this water was such glorious? And when Jesus walked on the water, I saw this water. But then when I came back through the city of Atlanta, Georgia, the woman took sick. And God said, but I got you back. I'm driving the car, not today. Came on back home. I had to give God some glory and praise because I don't know, Lord, is something else is still going on. What is it, Lord? Obedience, willing, and patient. But not knowing, Lord, that my James was coming forth. But my James came forth because God said, not today. Not today. 104 days. I had to go see my James. But I had to walk this walk by myself because the Holy Spirit was on me because he said so. I walked at night. And the security guard said, ma'am, where are you going in the dark? I say, I'm going to James. I'm going to James because it's nighttime and I can walk with Jesus. And some nights I walk to MCV Hospital. And men, lady, where you going? I'm going to see a man. I'm going to see a man. And they take it by, she's straight, huh? Good. Because the man I was going to see, it was a man called Jesus. And when I got on the elevator, lady, why are you happy? I'm going to see a man. And when I got in the room at night, and I heard Pastor Glory, Pastor Gary Gunn, Pastor Geraldine, and they prayed over James. They prayed such powerful prayers. And then I say, but Lord, every morning, the Holy Spirit had me praying for James. But what is it I can't do for James right now? He said, but you can pray. Get it together. You can pray in the spirit. And I had to anoint myself. One day I anoint myself so bad before I started praying. And then I went and repented. And I said, Lord, I'm going to repent right now. If I hurt anybody around me. And the lady said, man, are you all right? Yes, I am fine because I have been released. So when Jesus came into the dream the other night, he released. He released. He told me that pastor's vision around this altar is so holy. And that when I listen to him on Sundays, I rewrite what he said. Because the Holy Spirit is on him. And when I shake his hand, I feel the anointing. I feel the power of the Holy Spirit that he has created for us. And this morning, he told everything. And I didn't know what to say. I was fighting, Lord, what am I going to say? He said, but you're going to open your mouth and you're going to tell it. You don't make up stuff. The Holy Spirit said when Pastor this morning delivered worship. Hey, I was praising you before you start praising because I am still in the spirit wondering what God say. Hey, you did it, girl. Mm-hmm. But you're not finished yet. Amen. Not finished yet. About James, I was released from James because... Holy Spirit, help me.
I know. I have to wait. That's all right. Praise God. Hallelujah.
Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Before the dream, right. Pastor had a strange woman in his midst. Mm-hmm. And this woman said, if anybody wanted to walk on air, let them try. And the people looked, and so I said, I can do it. I was the first one. I want to walk on air. She was standing on air, and she said, it's open to you. Do not be afraid. You have the spirit. I got up there and walked on air, and then James said, well, if my mother-in-law can do it, I can do it. And then 4 days later, the power of the Holy Spirit led me with God coming to me. And when I walked that morning and I cried, I don't cry. I'm not a crier. But when I release those 14 blocks and going and coming, the Holy Spirit said, I got you now. You're in the spirit. And you're going to tell a story because Pastor has already laid it. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Amen. Amen. So make sure you center in on that. We can't walk in the natural. Jesus walked on water. James walked on water. While James walked on the air. What is that saying? You're walking in the spirit. It's not natural ground. It's heavenly ground. You're walking in an invisible realm. You found a resurrection higher ground that we can walk in. Jesus did it. That's what he did his whole life. The walking on the water was just to let you see he was walking on a different realm. I say that's true. That's becoming more and more true of your life. I say that's what we have to want. We have to beg the Holy Spirit. Take me in there. I don't care what else the world is doing. I don't care what else the other churches are doing. Take me in into this life that you know, Jesus just didn't die for your sins. He died so you can walk in another place. All right, so I feel like anybody else have anything that you, oh, please, please. I knew something else was out there.
Wow. So this week I have a testimony. It all became clear now. Everything you said, everything everybody has said, I had at work, we slipped so quickly back into the flesh. I mean, just like that. We think we can handle anything and everything in our own strength. All I had to do this week was handle 3 phone calls, 2 at work and 1 at home. You would think that that would be easy. And so mentally, I wasn't thinking I can do this without God. Physically, I was doing it without God. So we have what I heard while you were talking was you said, we don't know Jack. We can't do Jack, but we try. And what I heard while you were speaking was we have to hate what we do. We have to hate what we do. All of it. I began to hate myself this week and everything I was doing. It was simple. It was a phone call. And it shouldn't have taken as long as it took. But, you know, BJ tried to help. And he was on hold for 40 minutes with a place that answers the phone like that. And, I mean, before you knew it, you slipped into your flesh. And you got angry. And, you know, why am I so angry? It's just a phone call. It's a simple phone call. Friday took all week. Friday, I'm still trying to handle it all. It's just a phone call. Why couldn't I ask God to help me with it? Because I thought I could do it in my own strength. And so Friday comes, and I'm off on Fridays. Not off. I just don't work on Fridays. And I got the kids. Ah. I thought I could miraculously handle it on Friday. And it was just 1 phone call on Friday. Just 1. And I literally was losing my mind. Drew wanted juice. No, I don't want juice. Got to change Drew. Where's Kimmy? Is she dressed yet? You know, please hold. Please, representative, still. Oh, my goodness. I'm about to just lose it. And I finally recognized, God, I'm helpless. That's exactly what I heard while you were speaking. I'm helpless, even for a phone call. It's just a phone call. It sounds so silly. It sounds so petty. It sounds so small. But I've got to be smaller than that minor task. Yeah. Come on now. I've got to be so helpless, be under a phone call. All I needed was a human being just to fix it. Do you know, I never got through on the phone. I had to physically go to the bank and talk to a human being. But before that happened, when I admitted I was helpless, Aaliyah showed up at my door and took the kids to the pool. Both. At the same time. Hugging her at the door, I literally was crying on the inside. I said, you don't know, God is using you right now to help me, because I thought I could do it all. And I had to still go to the bank and face a person face to face, and the problem was fixed just like that. But how quickly we get back into the flesh. And he wants us to live in the spirit, moment by moment. He is our daily bread. Jesus is the bread of life. I was talking to Drew about that this morning. Isn't that funny? He said, Mama, you're not food. I said, boy, I love you so much I could eat you. I'm not food. I said, Mommy. He said, Mommy, people aren't food. I said, well, Jesus said he's food. He said he's bread. We can eat him. He wants to be that every day. Every day for us, moment by moment, he wants to be something new. You think that bread tastes the same? No. Every day, moment by moment, I was cleaning out this week all of our papers, filing stuff, making folders, getting my life straight, right? And I found all of my notes from PWM and from when I first started coming here, and I kept them all, everything. I mean, like, on Sundays, I would come and wouldn't have paper, and I'd find a receipt, and I'd write on the back of it, and then write, flip it over and write on the side. And I kept everything, and I put it in a tub, and I said, these are treasures. These are treasures. But you want to know what the Lord also said to me? Because I started looking, and I was like, ooh, that sounds good. Ooh, that sounds good. What was that? That was self. He said, no. You put it in there. It's a treasure. You keep it. But you're going to get something new right now. Something new. When we get to heaven, we're going to have a box just like what I just made. And it's going to be full of treasures. But new treasures. Every day. Moment by moment. God, help me to live in the Spirit. Moment by moment. I admit I'm helpless. I admit I'm helpless. Even for a phone call. Help me to remember that moment by moment in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. And who set that up? Who set all that up? God did. Because he has to convince us of our helplessness. Who else has something to share? Come on.
I just wanted to say, this has happened a few months ago, but it's been on my heart. And I said, Lord, if ever given the opportunity, I wanted to publicly thank the Lord for what he's done. About on the day before my son's birthday, he broke his femur bone into two pieces. And I was shook because coming from a science point of view, I know the dangers of breaking your femur bone. Don't want to think the worst, but you think the worst. And it shook me. And my mom, I'm so grateful that she was there when I got the call and how I knew she was praying automatically. And we drove over. So moving, and just different ones that came to the hospital and everything. But every day I'm thankful because I am helpless. We are helpless. There are things that will happen just in a moment that will change our lives completely. And we don't know which way it may go. But God is good regardless of how it goes because he sees ultimately how it needs to go. And I'm very grateful to God that Aaron, as you see, he walks when he is here with me. He's doing well. He's been released. But I wanted to publicly take the time to thank all of you and to thank God for what he's done. And I wanted to charge the ministry with being grateful for the things. For me, it's Aaron and many different things that we thank God for privately. But don't take for granted the things that God is doing in your life. And I know that you're not, but I felt like the Lord was saying, don't take these things for granted. Even if you don't choose to stand before a mic, take the time to say, Lord, thank you for my testimony. So I just wanted to say, Lord, thank you for what you've done in my life, and thank you for what you're going to do.
Amen. Amen. Who else? Who else? Everybody, come on. Come on, we're still eating the wings and salad. Share.
I don't know why I've been holding this for a day and a half, Pastor Jerry. Well, let me start with you, Apostle. So I was sharing with a few people how when we were at Rahu, our Apostle made some closing comments and a closing prayer that you can only get from heaven. He always knows the perfect thing to say. And you just can't get that out of humanness, if you know what I mean. And I was explaining to them how when the next team came up for their watch, I was just sitting there and I couldn't get away from what he had said. Because I just wanted to have a tape recorder hit the rewind button And just, you know, it was like I was soaking in it because we were in a different place. You know, our bodies were there, but we were with God. We were in heaven. Likewise, Pastor Jerry, I don't know whether you think of yourself this way. If you do now, I know you didn't at one time. But you are such a worshiper. You exude worship. And it didn't just start yesterday or last year or whatever. It's been cultivated in her. The more she gets in the presence of God, the more she dies, the more life. It's like life beggars life. And it's not the oxygen tank. And so as much as I know you had issues, you know, okay, going back and forth. But when you're around her, she breathe. Anybody ever had Pastor Jerry breathe on you? No offense, but like the old people say, Lord have mercy, when she breathe on you, okay? She exudes life in her worship. And she has all the time. And I looked up at one point Friday night, and I said, where's Pastor Jerry? And I didn't see her for the longest time. I was like, is she in the bathroom? Did she leave? Is she went out? And of course, you know, she with Father Daddy, of course. But everywhere that she walks, every time that she says something, every time she's just around you, that life comes on you. Now, Taba, this is probably a bad example because I'm not a scientist. But it reminds me of a mad scientist like a Taba in her laboratory. And you know how you see those pictures in the comic books where they take out the germs from the Petri dish and open up the jars? And they say, oh, you know, this is like germ warfare. This is like a pandemic or whatever you call it. She exudes that much mega life in worship that like a pandemic, it's contagious, but it's holy. It's spiritually contagious. And so I just want to bless God. I want to bless God continually for being in his house, for being taught, trained, mentored, chastened by my pastors over the years, and to just encourage everyone to understand that the substance that they show us, even though it may manifest itself differently because God has given them different gifts and different strengths, it's all the same substance, you know, of his holy love, of his holy authority, and of his life that he just wants us to continue to eat and partake of. So I just wanted to share.
Excellent, excellent. Why don't we go ahead and do the offering. Chris, if we can do the offering and announcements. I think we have an announcement about the crossroads. You want to do that real quick? And then Chris will come up. We're going to go ahead and pass out the cards, the envelopes. If you can raise your hand if you want an envelope, please.
An academy has a summer camp, and we are planning students to take an Amtrak ride.
Glory, glory, glory. Also, July 28th, open mic night. For those of you who have a talent that you want to share and bless best the people that's going to be here, please sign up with Miss Roz. Pastor Roz is going to get that thing up and running, and we're just going to have a good time like we always do. So July 28th, and if you know anybody who might be interested, please invite them. But before I close us out, Pastor really struck me when he was talking about movies. You know how we always do about movies, me and Dre. But and he was talking about sometimes he think the world might get it a little bit more than us. You know, they tap in. And one of my favorite movies, Disney movies, is Aladdin. You know, I'm not saying Aladdin is spiritual. I'm not saying I ain't saying they got it together. But some of them songs that they be singing, just, it really is a blessing. And I just want to read some of the lyrics from A Whole New World. Come on, that's my song. And that's what we're trying to get to, A Whole New World. It's not just a love song for marriages when, you know, when people going out in their carriages. But this some of the lyrics, if you really personalize this, I can just imagine God telling us this. So I can show you the world. Shining, shimmering, splendid. Tell me, princess or prince. Now, when did last time did you let your heart decide? I can open your eyes, take you wonder by wonder, over, sideways, and under on a magic carpet ride, but on a spiritual carpet ride, taking us up higher. A whole new world, a fantastic point of view. No one to tell us no or where to go or say you were only dreaming. So that's what the world want to do. Convince us that the spiritual world is just a dream. It's not real. God wants to make us know, and he wants us to taste it. He wants us to feel it. He wants us to know that it's real. A whole new world, a dazzling place I never knew. That's you. You don't know this place yet. But when I'm way up here, it's crystal clear, and now I'm in a whole new world with you. See, now God wants us to come to understanding about these things, right? Unbelievable sights, indescribable feelings, soaring, tumbling, freewheeling through the endless diamond sky, a whole new world. Don't you dare close your eyes. See, we're getting up. When he starts taking us high, we got a tendency to close our eyes because we don't know. We want to go back to the natural. Exactly. 100,000 things to see. Hold your breath, it gets better. I'm like a shooting star. I've come so far, and I can't go back to where I used to be. Come on now. Come on, right? A whole new world. Every turn is a surprise. With new horizons to pursue every moment, red letter, I'll chase them anywhere. There's time to spare. Let me share this whole new world with you. And then it's a whole new world. There we will be. A thrilling chase, a wondrous place for you and me. Like, God is speaking. Even the world is getting stuff like that. And if, you know, if you're just looking for entertainment, you'll be entertained. But the world knew that was a special song because many people play that all the time. That's their wedding songs. That's, you know, their intro music to certain things. And, you know, I always knew I loved that movie. That was my favorite from since I was a kid. But that song really stands out. And I never really, I mean, I might know some of the lyrics, but I never really thought about it in a spiritual way. But when I, you know, when the pastor said that, I just happened to like, wow, that just popped in my head. God's trying to show us a whole new world. God wants to take us higher. To a place where we stay so high that everything becomes clear. And even when we up there, he's going to keep convincing us, don't close our eyes. There's more. There's more. It's too much to see. Don't close your eyes. I want to give you more. I want to show you. Those are them treasures we keep talking. I got to show you these things. But we have to get up high. We have to be seeking that new realm, that new place that's only with him, for him and us. Him and us. Nothing else. If we up there, the world don't matter. What's going on here? You know, oh, your job going down. It don't matter because you up there, right? So with that said, continue to seek that new realm. Continue to try to see spiritually in everything you do. Like Kristen said, through the phone calls or through your day-to-day life with the kids, through work, your friends, whatever it may be, continue to try to see spiritual and seek God on everything you do and watch him take you higher. All right, God bless. Our hearts and minds are clear. Heavenly Father, we just thank you, oh Lord God, that you're continuously taking us to a new world. Heavenly Father, that you're continuously trying to open our eyes to who you are and what you're doing, Lord God. We thank you for the understanding that you have given us. But Heavenly Father, you have so much more, so much beyond, oh Lord God, just these movements that have taken place, oh Lord God. We thank you for the movements, but we know that you have more for us, oh Lord God. Heavenly Father, we thank you that joy is continuously working in us, oh Lord, and peace and wisdom. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your grace and your mercy, oh Lord God, that continues continues to follow us day by day. So Heavenly Father, as we depart this place, oh Lord God, we just pray that we never depart from your heart and you will never depart from our hearts. And each other, oh Lord God, continue to let love build in us, oh Lord God. Heavenly Father, letting us love our brothers and sisters, oh Lord God, checking on them and caring for one another, Lord God. So Heavenly Father, we just thank you for the life, oh Lord God, the light that you have shown in Pastor Sharon. And we just thank you for her life. Heavenly Father, we thank you for her family. Heavenly Father, we thank you that we all are connected in you, Lord God. So as our soul man decreases, oh Lord, let your spirit man rise in us, Lord God. Take control, Lord God, and let us follow you in your footsteps. In Jesus' name, we glorify you. Amen.